On February 70, 2007, the annual Day of Remembrance was held in San Francisco. We had the chance to attend this amazing event and to talk to people, some of them elderly Japanese Americans, who spent time in one of the Japanese American internment camps themselves. Also, the Day of Remembrance is a commemoration of a dark chapter in American history. It has been transformed into a celebration of the courage, dignity and persistence of internees. It often rekindled the commitment of younger generations and brought the public to take personal responsibility for ensuring that such an injustice is never repeated. Between February and November 1942, nearly 120,000 West Coast residents of Japanese descent were evacuated from their homes and sent to government war camps in remote areas of the West, South, and Southwest. Many of these Japanese and Japanese Americans would spend the time of World War II in the camps, which were located, among others, in Heart Mountain, Jerome, Manassa, Minidoka, Topaz, and Tule Lake. The camp's residents lived in barracks and ate, bathed, and washed their clothes in communal facilities. Each camp was surrounded by barbed wire and guarded by military police. Nearly 2 years later, the government began closing the camps, starting with Jerome and ending with Tule Lake in 1946. Life in the camps proved difficult. In some camps, riots broke out during clashes between pro-Japanese and pro-American factions. A loyalty test administered by the War Relocation Administration also helped to fashionalize the evacuees. As a result of the turbulence, hundreds of young Nisei left the camps when the opportunity appeared. Colleagues such as Oberlin in Ohio sponsored Nisei students, allowing them to relocate and resume their education. Christian churches arranged for Nisei to work in homes and offices located in the South and Midwest. In addition, more than 1,000 men joined the U.S. military forces and served in the All-Nisei 442nd Regimental Combat Team. Many Nisei served on the front lines as translators and interpreters in the Military Intelligence Service, MIS, in the Pacific War.
Franklin D. Roosevelt authorized the internment of the Nisei and the Issei Executive Order 9066. It authorized the Army to designate military areas from which any persons may be excluded. Only residents of Japanese ancestry were forced to leave their homes, though. Executive Order 9066 was a response to Japan's attack on Pearl Harbor on December 7, 1941. It was proved during the redress hearings in the late 80s that the alleged justification for internment was falsified and based on pure racism. Each of the camp survivors was promised $20,000 in redress payment and an official apology by the president. Although many evacuees protested the removal, four individuals, Fred T. Korematsu, Mitsuya Endo, Minoru Yasui, and Gordon K. Hirabayashi, challenged the constitutional of the relocation order through the courts. At first, all four petitions were denied, but in December of 1944, the U.S. Supreme Court decided that Endo's detention in the camps violated her civil rights. Following this decision, in January of 1945, the War Department rescinded the evacuation order and arranged for the attorneys to leave the camps. The three lost cases were reopened in the 90s, and the verdicts were declared unconstitutional by the Supreme Court. Camp survivor Fred Yamazaki shared this diary entry with us. He wrote it into his diary just after arriving in Tule Lake. Today, American soldiers came and took us to a place we didn't know. The Americans promised to bring us into a resettlement camp, but in reality, the camp is like a prison. There are fences with barbed wire and we are guarded by the military police. My whole family and I live in one room with hardly any furniture. The camp is located in the desert, so we are very isolated. We hope tomorrow will be better.
Japanese Americans have responded in different ways to this treatment. Here is an extract of No No Boy by John Okada.
Jap! His pace quickened automatically, but curiosity or fear of indignation or whatever it was made him glance back at the white teeth framed in a leering dark brown which was almost black. Go back to Tokyo, boy. The white teeth and brown black Elias picked up the cue and jigged to the rhythmical chanting of Jap boy Tokyo, Jap boy Tokyo.
Even more famous Japanese Americans, like George Takei, talk about the time they spent in the camps in their autobiographies. This shows what deep impact the dark chapter in American history had on everybody concerned. Listen to a short extract of Takei's autobiography, To the Stars.
A gust of hot, dusty wind beat against the window and just as quickly blew away. The train was moving at top speed, but in the empty vastness of the desert landscape, only the occasional dust billows and the lonely saguaro cactus that sped by defined any movement. That and the steady, monotonous rocking of the train. I was 4 years old and sensitive enough to feel the tension. Some of the women had cried when we left Los Angeles, but now they just stared out at the silent emptiness. All of us wore numbered identification tags, attached with soft wire firmly twisted into our clothes. I was number 12832-C.
Roar! Roar!
The MP's bellows alerted us that we had finally arrived. Camp Roar, or Roar Relocation Center, as it was called in the formal governmental euphemism, was the easternmost of 10 internment camps hurriedly thrown up by the War Relocation Authority, created by President Franklin D. Roosevelt. It was located in the southeastern corner of Arkansas. The train passed tall guard towers, with armed soldiers staring down at us. Beyond the barbed wire fence, we could see internees who had arrived earlier, lined up, waving forlornly. Beyond them were rows upon rows of black tar-paper-covered army barracks. We waited beside our train car in the blistering Arkansas sun for quite a while before we finally heard someone shouting,
"Takei, family of five!"
"Right here," Daddy shouted back.
Here's what German high school students thought when they first learned about the camps.
"Well, I was really impressed, like so many people on so little space."
"Me too, and it's really unjustified that they can take the freedom of Japanese American away without reason."
"Yes, for me it's also incredible how something like that can happen."
"Tragic, isn't it? Especially because even the contemporary Japanese American community is still traumatized by what happened more than 60 years ago.